Welcome and thank you for visiting the Straight Talk Podcast. We're talking wealth, finance, real estate. We're coming from a tell it like it is, keep it simple, help me understand, and give it to me straight approach. I'm Greg Cowart, a guy who's been working on the front lines of finance and real estate now for 20 years. We're going to help you save money, point you in the right direction, keep it fun, and keep it real. Thanks for joining. Let's roll. Coming to you live, Straight Talk Podcast, Greg Cowart. It is 2 weeks after the election. We are in the late November of 2024. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're here in Central Virginia, the leaves start getting beautiful and you start seeing the long days. And if you're in Florida, you don't see either of those things. So come on, come hang out with us in Virginia. It's awesome. Seasons are great. But the other thing this time of year means is it's time to look forward to next year. So ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do an abbreviated version of the Straight Talk Podcast, where we try to talk straight and give you information you need on real estate, wealth, finance. And we're going to keep this one a little shorter and just give you a post-election interest rate update. So the landscape's changing. It's been a really dynamic time. We had the good versus the bad, or the bad versus the good, whichever side of that 50% you're on. And we are on the other side, and a new administration is coming in. And the forecast for what we're likely to see in the world of finance and housing and wealth is starting to get a little bit more clear. So I just wanted to come to you right away and give you something nice and easy to listen to let you know what to expect in the world of housing and finance for 2025. So here it goes. You know, the government, the part of the government that sets interest rate policy is called the Fed. And we have seen a significant decrease in inflation. And remember, the Fed has something called a dual mandate. On one side, they have to keep inflation low. And on the other side, they have to maximize employment. And these kind of, like a seesaw, go against each other. And they've done a really nice job of maximizing employment and at the same time bringing inflation down dramatically. Their goal's 2%, and we're getting closer. It's been a steady decline over the past 2 years. But remember, we're in a world where after COVID, interest rates went up the fastest they've ever gone up in the history of the United States, not only mostly in like duration, so going from here to here, it went up in a faster amount of time and higher than it had ever gone up before. So here we are. In general, the economy was in somewhat of a recessionary state, but it just wouldn't act that way. Employment was still good. Interest rates were raised, but rather than slowing things down, it didn't really slow things down. All in all, the economy was clicking along. And here we come into this current election cycle. So one side won. We've got a new administration coming in. And the reason that this is an important podcast is because it looks like we're 2 weeks after the election that the 2025 interest rate forecast appears to be changing. So I just wanted you to hear it first here and kind of talk about a little bit why it is changing. So what we've got going on is that we are still in an uncertain time where the new administration hasn't started. And a lot of what they talked about on the campaign trail is really all we have to go off right now. But early indications are that we may not be looking at the drop in interest rates the Fed promised. So the Fed in 2024, towards the second half, said, hey guys, we're going to lower rates four times or 100 bips in 2024. And then, good news, we're going to lower them four times in 2025. And they do this through something called a dot plot, where literally they forecast their votes going forward. And you can look up Fed dot plot and you'll see this on your World Wide Web. So all of us in the world of real estate and even finance were in a world where we thought we would see a decreasing interest rate environment in 2025. And that's what we were forecasting and telling folks, because that's what the Fed was telling us. Sure enough, on September, 18th, the Fed cut interest rates a quarter, and then again, they cut a half, then they cut a quarter in November, and there's still a 60% chance, as I record this today, that they're going to cut in December, around mid-December. That would be four cuts in a quarter. That's a lot. But guys, the craziest thing has happened. Despite having 75 bips or three rate cuts to the Fed funds rate, mortgage rates since September 18th have gone up. And one of the reasons they've gone up is because the market, the bond market, which is what mortgages are, so bonds basically is where you loan someone money and they promise you a return. So here, give me 10 grand and I'm going to give you a 7% return. It's basically a reverse loan between you and the government or you and the mortgage company. And bonds have gone up because they're a little bit not sure who would win the election. And when they're not sure, they move towards a more aggressive price. Because if you don't know, you want me to promise you money for 10 years? Well, I need a higher return in this uncertain time. So interest rates have gone up, which is totally contrary to what we thought would happen. We thought that once the first cut happened in like 2 years, that we would see interest rates fall. So we're really surprised to be here, but the election's a big reason. Post-election, we're not seeing interest rates go down. We're hanging out right around 7%, and we've been here for a little while. In fact, since September 18th, when the Fed made their first cut, rates have moved up. So, well, what's going to happen next year? Well, currently, the economist and the economy is telling us that the new administration is likely to be more inflationary than maybe we had forecast. So what we don't know is if the new administration, who now is going to be elected in January to the executive branch, and now we know controls the House and the Senate, we don't know how much gridlock there's going to be. So we don't know how much of this they're really going to be able to get through. But there are some concepts they're talking about which could make prices more expensive and interest rates higher. And at this point, the listener's like, come on, man, can I get lower interest rates and a strong economy? But it doesn't work that way. Let's think back to the COVID times. It was a crazy time. Everyone was locked in their houses, and we were worried the economy was shut down. Well, what did interest rates do? They went down. Lower performing economy, lower interest rates. Well, what happens when a higher performing economies out there, people are spending more, things heat up, more inflation. So better economy, more inflationary, and interest rates move up. One way to look at this is if rates are going down, typically your retirement or the stock market's going down. And I wish you could have both, but you can't. It's just the idea of inflation versus returns. So what we're likely to see here is that some of these policies, let's take one for example, the new administration is talking about using tariffs, and specifically tariffs on China. So basically what they're saying is either we'd import less, or if we did import something, there would be a markup on it. All right, so let's say you want to buy a widget from China, which you've been buying for the past 4 years and you want to buy in 2025. Well, if that widget is 30% more in price, what do you think the cost of it's going to be? Well, I think ideally we would hope that maybe if the cost goes up enough, we could produce it in the United States and match and create jobs here, which may be the case. We'll see. However, in the short term, it's likely to be passed on to the customer, which would be inflationary. Price of goods would go up. So the tariff policy specifically could be inflationary. Let's go to another policy. Well, the next policy, let's go with immigration. So the new administration wants to really enforce the U.S.'s immigration laws, maybe create some new ones, and maybe more aggressively deport people who aren't here legally. We've got a real shadow economy running in our country where whether you walk into the back of any restaurant or whether you walk into a construction site or whether you walk into a housekeeping type of situation, a lot of these entry-level, lower-wage jobs are being done by people who are living here illegally. And these people, because they're not legal, are oftentimes paid at a lower wage and oftentimes paid under the table. And this has been the way it's been here in the United States for a long time. A lot of this labor historically is coming from Central America, and it fuels our economy by keeping prices low. Now, if we make it tougher for immigrants to come in or more aggressively enforce on employers illegal immigration crackdowns or deportation, we would have less people working at the lower level wages. These are people putting up studs in a new house. These are people cleaning hotel rooms. These are people washing dishes in the back of a kitchen. Well, you're still going to want to go out to eat. You're still going to want to go to your hotel. They're going to have to pay more to pay people who are legally here. And so this too would be passed on the consumer and would be inflationary. So just a couple of things there with the new administration, which are causing us to rethink the interest rate outlook for 2025. The recent news that I'm hearing from news sources, economic news sources, but mostly even other podcast people that I'm listening to, is that the Fed, and even just as of last week, Jerome Powell spoke and sounded very different. He said, I like where we are. I like the cuts we've made. And we're in a beautiful position to kind of hold here and wait and see how things go and make future decisions. So Jerome Powell, the head of the Fed, is really good about saying very little, but saying a lot. And one of the reasons we've had interest rates move up here recently is because what he's really saying is, hey guys, I know I told you that I liked the way inflation was going, but now that these elections are through and if we're in a period of uncertainty, I'm kind of whispering to you that what I might have told to you back in August or July was before we knew what would happen with the elections. And now we might take more of a wait and see approach. So guys, whereas we thought we might see 4 interest rate cuts in 2025 by the Fed, you know, now I'm hearing more like 1, maybe 2. We don't even know if we're going to see the December cut. So remember at this point that in terms of housing, the average interest rate since 1945, that's World War II. Sorry, excuse me, take that back. I'm going to redo that. The average interest rate since 1972 is 7.8%. And today we sit right around 7%. So half the time in the history of our country since 1972, interest rates have been higher than 7.8 and half the time lower. We, all of us American consumers, especially those of us who own houses and who refinanced or bought back in 2019 or 2020 or 2021, are really spoiled, if you will, by the low interest rates that came with the COVID years. And there's a real hope in the housing industry that we'll see falling interest rates so we can see a spike in demand. We've been in a bit of a contraction period. In fact, the amount of homes sold in recent years are among the all-time lows here in the past, I don't know, since 2018. So, all right, Greg, well, thanks for the great podcast. Thanks for the straight talk about we're not going to see falling interest rates in 2025. And folks, I'm not saying we're not, but I think as of 2 months ago, 3 months ago, we were telling people we would see falling interest rates. And I think where we are as we head into Christmas season, holiday season, and the new year is that we're moving to a we don't know. We're moving to a here's what we've got. And at least on our mortgage team, moving to a conversation that's less speculative about interest rates falling and more telling our home buyers and our partners that where we are here at 7% is all we know. And let's go ahead and plan as though there's no changes to interest rate policy in 2025. And I got to tell you, that's a pretty big deal. Business plans were being written. People were being hired in housing. Families were making plans. And this is why I wanted to kind of come to you quick and tell you the latest. The amount of families who are not happy in their home, who it doesn't fit, or they've been divorced, or someone's passed away, or they're in too small of a house and are waiting for interest rates to fall. Because we thought they'd fall in 23, we thought they'd fall in 24, and now we've been telling, the Fed's saying they will fall in 2025, who are waiting for housing affordability to improve with falling interest rates. It's going to really create a conundrum. And really the message to you, the future home buyer, mover, future homeowner, is I would encourage you to make plans based upon where we are today for next year. I wouldn't plan on being in a lower interest rate environment. I think there's just too much uncertainty out there. Now, will the administration be able to get through these deregulatory, and again, deregulation increases stock prices, but with higher production, with higher profit, with higher stock prices also comes inflation. So between deregulation, tariffs, and some of the immigration, both of these three, will they be able to really get this through the House and the Senate? We do have a House and Senate controlled by the same branch as the executive branch. However, the House margin's super thin. I think it's 11 right now is the differential between the red and the blue in the House. So we really don't know. But I did want to get to you and kind of let you know the latest. So, all right, well, can you give me any good news? And I do have good news. You know, one of the good news is how many folks were waiting on the election news to come through and waiting really on this kind of podcast to be like, okay, what can I plan for? And that wait's over. There's a collective sigh in the country on the other side of the election, whether your person won or your person lost, at least we know what's likely to come in the future and which direction the country's going to head with some of its economic policies. So I think that's good news. Okay, what's some other good news? Well, the other good news is that we're going to be in a position where if rates fell, we would see demand increase and we would therefore see prices increase. In fact, the quicker rates fall, the faster prices are going to go up. So if we're not going to see falling rates, we're likely to see a market where prices hold. We're also likely to see, therefore, a market where there's less competition. There won't be like COVID years or even recent years where we're seeing 8 to 10 offers on a home at a time. All right, what's good news there? Well, you don't have to pay as much, but also you don't have to close when the seller wants. You don't have to waive your right to an appraisal. You don't have to waive getting a home inspection. And those were things that we thought would be coming in 2025. So as a buyer, you're able to make great offers. Sellers, if you want to move, you're in an amazing equity position. We've seen tremendous equity. There's more equity in homes than there are American 401ks right now in the country. So you will be in a position where we still have a housing shortage. We will still have demand for your home. Your home will still sell in most markets in a very quick time. And you'll be able to move that equity over into the next house. Other good news, there are options. There are temporary buy-downs. ARMs may potentially come back if we hang here in the sevens or mid-sevens. Even when interest rates were at 18%, families were buying and selling homes. And they do that because things are constantly changing. The only thing that doesn't change is change, and families are growing, being formed, changing, and there will always be home ownership. You know, the other thing that I would say to you is that between the real estate settlement with real estate agents' commissions changing, between needing to have a plan for how to get from one home to the next, your team's going to be more important than ever. And that's both the realtor you choose and the mortgage lender you choose. Both of those industries have seen a lot of people leave. I'm in the mortgage industry. I think we've seen almost a 40 to 50% reduction in the amount of people who wake up and help people buy homes on the mortgage side. Realtors are probably looking at a 30% decrease nationally. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking about buying a home or making a move in 2025, choosing that lender and that realtor now, someone local, experienced, full-time, great ratings, top of their game, and also who shares advice and options is really important. And now that we know we can make accurate plans, my phone's been really ringing off the hook in the past week just with people saying, all right, I want to buy next year. What's it going to look like? And now we can really start to say, all right, well, the chips are falling into place, and I think we're going to look like this. And they're still going to buy, and it's now more trying to understand payment, price, and all that stuff because I think we're getting a better feel for interest rates. So not all bad news there. The other thing to mention is that every 2 years, the house turns over. And that's interesting that our founding fathers designed it that way. In fact, the more you look into the way they designed our government, it's fascinating. So really, within the next 2 years, it's typically a referendum on the new president. And oftentimes, our country likes to have divided government, where the red's on one side and blue's on the other. So the more gridlock, the more that it's more status quo to what government usually is, then I think you might see a less chance of inflation because there might not be more creative, typical, unusual policies, if you will, that would go through, and that may keep us more in a status quo type of world. So we'll see. The administration, like most campaigns, has made a lot of promises, but will they deliver? If they do deliver on some of these promises, they look like they're going to be inflationary, but we really don't know. But we are seeing a really changing landscape, and here on the Straight Talk podcast, I wanted to come to you quick and get you an update on what we're looking at. The forecast right now likely is looking for interest rates to stay kind of where we are through 2025. Watch the 10-year Treasury. This is a really common bond that we watch. That has moved up. I think it was as low as 3.6. I think right now it's all the way up to 4.3. But if you ever really want to see what the economy is doing and what interest rates are doing, watch something called the 10-year Treasury. And then as well, you can watch the Fed dot plot. That should come out in December. I think they release that every other meeting, where they'll be forecasting, and we'll know a little bit more how the Fed's feeling like they're going to change the decreasing interest rates in 2025. Well, folks, housing affordability is really an issue. We were hoping that we could see a world where interest rates were lowering, but at the same time, those of us in the business weren't sure that lowering interest rates were really going to affect affordability. Interest rates don't affect payment that much. And as they went down, there's so many families thinking of buying in 2025 that are putting off buying, waiting for the right timing of the interest rate environment. We felt like that there'd be such a rush into the market if rates fell that we'd ended up offsetting any reduction through a lower interest rate with higher home prices through competition. So we still are going to have affordability be a challenge, here in the United States. There's just not enough homes. And, you know, any of this deregulatory stuff we could see in home building with new home construction could potentially be offset by tariffs and supplies being more expensive and possibly a labor shortage. I know builders really struggle as it is right now, at least the ones I work with finding qualified help. So all in all, a more cloudy picture than the Fed had forecast in the third quarter of this year of 2024 for 2025. But for right now, if you are buying a home, I would take today's interest rate of 7% and use that as a forecasting tool for next year, which is good. I mean, it's lower than a historic average. I think we're spoiled by a number in the threes. And this, if this is where we are, it should look like a real stable housing market for 2025 and likely a growing stock market for 2025 with some of the policies the administration would bring in. So, you know, although you're not going to see a reduction in interest rates, you should continue to see strong equity and appreciation in your homes and hopefully your savings that are invested in the market doing well in the stock market. So that's how we look right now. Again, this is Greg Cowart on the front lines of real estate, wealth, and finance here in good old Central Virginia. But these policies and these predictions should be nationwide for the most part. I mean, we do have pockets, whether it's certain cities, rural areas where the forecast for how easy it is to sell a home and how much appreciation will affect, that could be different. But in terms of interest rates, this is more of a national thing. It's set by the federal government. So hope this was helpful. You can always interact with me at the website, www.gregcowart.com. You'll see my email address there. Feel free to call, text. Love to hear your thoughts. Thinking of buying a home in 2025, how would the forecast of interest rates staying the same affect your decision? Might you choose to stay and add an addition? Might you choose to rent your home at the low interest rate it's at and then use some of that differential with rents being so high to help you fund a new home? What are you thinking? Love to hear from you. Please let me know how the podcast is working for you, whether we're covering topics you enjoy or whether you have other suggestions. Love to hear from you. And until then, that's the 2025 Interest Rate Forecast Post-Election Podcast. And with that being said, I'm out. Be well and talk soon. Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Straight Talk Podcast. I hope it's been time well spent. If you have questions, topics you'd like to see me cover, want to connect, just reach out to me, gregcowart.com. Now go make it a great day.